Hey everybody, I am grateful to be here today. There was a point earlier in the week when I wasn't sure I was going to be here. I had, I guess you could say I did a belly buster off of the lower part of our staircase, so I laid there for a moment thinking that maybe there was something broken, but it was okay. Lori and the girls were off in Alabama, so I was like, you know, I'm very lucky. And there's days that we have where there's not good days some days. We all have days that, and it doesn't matter what age you are, there's days that are just not good. By various ways of how you might look at them. And we have disappointments in those days, and that's what I want to talk about. But the one thing that I want us to come away from today in this lesson is that there's a lot of encouragement that we receive daily from our God. We have a great God, and it is He that provides our sustenance each day, and we'll see that in this lesson. So have you ever been disappointed? Sure you have. A lot of our members here have health problems, or they have family members who have been plagued with health problems. Maybe there's a job that is concerning you. Maybe you're not in the right job. You're still looking for a job. Maybe you've recently lost a job. Times have been tough. Ever had your own self-disappointments? Things you do and you just shake your head. Why'd I do that? What about a friend? Ever been let down by a friend? Maybe you were the friend that let someone down, so it's kind of a self-disappointment in that respect. Sometimes our family disappoints us, right? Has God ever disappointed you? I want us to think about the assurances we have from our God and what that means to us day in and day out. How many of you recognize this man, Thomas Chisholm? You can show your hand if you do. You'll know him a little better in just a moment. You'll recognize him. Lived almost to be 100. He had a really good start in life in that he became a teacher by the age of 16, but he was a poor boy. He was born not in a hospital, but he was born in a log cabin in Kentucky. He changed jobs many times due to his health. I believe probably from some respiratory problem that he had, because he was encouraged to move to an area where the air was clean and clear. So he moved out to a farm. He became a newspaper editor, and then at one point he obeyed the call of the gospel to become a minister. Although you and I would have some disagreements with some of the beliefs that he had, but he was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he only was able to do that for like a year because of his health. He later became an insurance salesman. But what I want you to know about this man is that although he had these trials and challenges in his life, he was really known as a writer. A writer of many poems and some of our treasured hymns. You see the three at the bottom that I've listed here. Oh, to be like thee. Beautiful, beautiful song. Only in thee. And great is thy faithfulness. And it's that song that was kind of the inspiration for me framing this lesson today. both of these latter two songs talk about some of the things you can see as you look at the words of these songs, some of the things that he dealt with in his life, the disappointments and so forth. But what I want us to know is that, like this man and other people who find inspiration in God that we serve, is that it's not the disappointments in our life that we need to focus on. We need to focus on God and hang on to Him. And you can see that he did that. And he tried to fill his days with the goodness that God provides. Look at the words of these two songs. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Consistency. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun and moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon and sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Turn to Lamentations, if you would, just for a moment. Lamentations chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 22. It's probably no surprise that Chisholm chose a passage from Lamentations as a basis for this song. Lamentations from the Weeping Prophet. Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Almost word for word from part of that song, right? Look at the words for only in thee. Only in thee, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. Peace that the world, though all combined, never can take from me. Pleasures of earth, so seemingly sweet, fail at the last my longings to meet. The world didn't offer what he needed. Fail at my last my longings to meet. Only in thee my bliss is complete. Only, dear Lord, in thee. Only in thee a radiance bright shines like a beacon in the night, guiding my pilgrim bark aright over life's trackless sea. Only in thee, when troubles molest, when the temptation with temptation I am oppressed, there is a sweet pavilion of rest. Only in thee, when days are drear, when neither sun nor stars appear, still I trust and feel no fear, seeing when I cannot see. Only in thee, whatever betide, all of my need is freely supplied. There is no help nor helper beside. Only in, dear Lord, in thee. Only in thee, dear Lord, dear Savior slain. Losing thy life, my own to gain. Trusting I'm cleansed from every stain. Thou art my only plea. Only in thee my heart will delight. Till in that land where cometh no night, faith will be lost in heavenly sight. Only, dear Lord, in thee. He would later write in a letter, 1941 would have been about 19 years before he passed away. It says, my income has not been large at any time due to an impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me until now, although I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God. For which I am filled with. See, it's really a matter of focus, isn't it? It's not that we can escape challenges in our life. We're not going to do that. We can run from challenges, but we're not going to avoid them. When you run from one, there's another around the corner. We have to be resilient, and we have to use what God has provided us to overcome those challenges. And once we know that God is there and He provides a way and He has avenue of prayer for us to ask for His help and supplication, that's how we overcome these challenges. And the message here is that our God is much greater than our challenges. So we want to talk about God's greatness. And the passage that before is what I want us to understand, that we're not to be anxious about anything, but that we can have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And that peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. The greatness of God, when we talk about the greatness of God, there's a lot of things that we could talk about. You know, we've talked many times about His ability to know all things and to be in all places and to have all power. And there's many other things that we could talk about. But what I want to do today is to focus on four things: His consistency, His faithfulness, His mercy, and love. Those four things are, I would say, four of the great things that I can really appreciate. It's hard for me to get my head around how powerful God is, and it's hard for me to really understand some of these, and how, for instance, how He could love us so much. But we will take a look at these just for a few moments, just kind of give ourselves an idea of what we should appreciate and how we should tackle these problems we have during our day. God's consistency. Life can be chaotic and it's filled with uncertainty. We mentioned earlier that every day brings a challenge. Some days it's just a challenge to get out of bed for some. I know my mom struggles with that. And some of you may as well. The physical things of life, sometimes our health, really pose obstacles in our life. But the one thing that we as human beings are trying and seeking to achieve is some form of stability in our life. Right? Wouldn't you like to have a day where you know that you're going to be just fine, you're going to feel great, you're not going to worry about bills or a job or anything like that? Wouldn't you like that? If your day is like that every day, I'd like to talk to you. Maybe you can teach me some things. My days are not like that. I have worries just like everybody else. And I know a lot of you have, as we've talked about those things, that kind of worries. And we're not to worry. And this lesson, I hope, will help us understand that God is there. While we're there to serve Him, He is there serving us daily with things that help us get through our day. Where do we find stability in our life? Is it in the world? Just as Chisholm wrote, he couldn't find those things. He couldn't find the help he needed in the world today. He couldn't find it in a job. We can't find stability in a job. We might think we can. We might even think that, well, I'm in this job, and this job's never going to go away. I mean, I know some of you have been in the military, and as sure as you think that a job in the military might be secure, there have been people that have been cut out of the military. So it can happen. But there's persons or group that sometimes that we try to find some assurances in. Maybe you want to pin your coattail to the president or to some senator that's going to help you. Or maybe there's a person at work that if I can just stay attached to that person and I can network through them, I can help myself. There's probably some goodness there, and you may be able to help yourself in a career by doing that. But in the long run, there are no guarantees with that. There are no guarantees with that. I've seen that happen. People thought that they could rely on one person at work to help them with their career, and it just doesn't happen. Or maybe you're in a group. I remember talking to a man many years ago who lived down the street from us in Fayetteville, Tennessee, and he talked with me about the church where we attended there in South Fayetteville, the South Fayetteville Church of Christ. And he had been there before, but he didn't really share the belief that we did, in that one of the members had talked to him about his involvement in the Masonic activity, in the Masonry. And he told me that he really believed that that was a great organization, and that anywhere in the world that he went, if he needed any help, he could rely on them. And that's just an example of how people want to rely on something other than God. But the Bible teaches us differently, that we're to rely on God. As humans, we want to know a better day is coming, right? Let me see, raise your hand if you don't want a better day. It's kind of a chuckle, isn't it? Everybody wants a better day. But the one thing that we know, that God is the same. It's the same God today as it was when Adam was created. Think about that. That was a long time ago. And God had told Moses, I am who I am. The words there are indicative that God was and is and always will be. I am has sent me. It's what he told him to tell the people of Israel. And you know what? God's plan, although we went from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God's plan for mankind is the same. It's the same plan. We're to serve Him. How we serve Him, Old Testament, New Testament, has changed. That's not a debate. But the plan was the same. To serve Him, and He has promised us that if we serve Him, He will be our God. Exodus 6 and verse 7. I will take you to be my people. I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And this was repeated many times through the Old Testament in a slight variation of words. But God wanted them to know that there was a consistency, that He was not changing. And if you look in James 1 and 17, we repeat this verse a lot. And we talk about this verse in the context many times that God provides us good gifts, and He does, and that's what the verse says. But I also want you to look at what the verse also says about God. James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Pay attention to what it says here. With whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. It's the English Standard Version, the translation. There's no changing. He is the same God. Now, what does that mean to us? If He's the same God, what would it be like if God changed His mind every day? How many revisions to the Bible would we have by now in the thousands of years that God has been interacting with man? If God was always changing His mind and thinking of a new idea, that'd be a little bit unsettling. We kind of see that and feel that at work sometimes. Oh, we got a new boss. Wonder what he's going to want, or she. But we like that consistency, and God gives us that. Let's move on to God's faithfulness. Question here I pose to you, has God ever broken a promise? Anybody? I can't think of one. But on the contrary, let's look at these just real quickly. He said when He implemented the rainbow, making the covenant with man, that He would never destroy all flesh by flood. And we understand that all flesh wasn't actually destroyed by the flood. He did save 8 souls, right? But everyone else was destroyed, and everything that walked upon the earth. So it was all flesh, not just the flesh of mankind, but animals, birds. Okay? So that's what He means, totally wiping out those things that He didn't safeguard. Okay. Has God ever done that again? No, He hasn't. And when He destroys the earth again, we are told that He's going to do that with fire. Okay, so He does have a plan to destroy the earth, but it will be with fire, and He's given us a warning about that. Okay, so, and He's given us a way to be saved from that. So what about Abraham and Sarah? They had a promise. And some in the world would have thought it ludicrous at the time. They were promised a child when they were really old. So old that Sarai laughed. And she said later that, you know, the Lord's given us laughter. People are going to laugh. You know, because we have this son in our old age. Paraphrasing her words. But God actually planned that, promised it, and He's carrying out a much greater promise that they would become a great nation, the father of a great nation, Abraham was to be. But how could he do that if God would not give him a son? Or some type of offspring. God is faithful to keep His promises. There was the land promise, and they were rescued from Egypt after 430 years. Joshua 21:43-45, thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that He swore to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it. And they settled there, and the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord hath made to the house of Israel had failed. Does that give you comfort? Not one word failed of God's promises. That is consistency. That's power. That's faithfulness. That's the God that we serve. All came to pass. What about the promise of the Messiah and salvation? The promise of salvation. We're here today because we are serving Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior. Why? Because we have an offer of salvation that is promised through Jesus, that if we live according to His words, that when we are finished here on this earth, we will live in heaven. Given all that we know about the Bible and about Jesus and about the God of heaven, what assurance do we have that we will have salvation? The assurance is in the fact that God has never broken a promise. He is the same then and now, and He has promised. And it's in that we have assurance. You know, it's kind of odd. I talk about assurance. You know, a lot of life insurance companies are called assurance. Right, they have some kind of word like that. If they don't have insurance in their title, they may have assurance. Wasn't it odd that Thomas Chisholm found his way to a life insurance? It's just kind of an interesting fact, but God gives us assurance. He gives it to us. So the coming of the first Messiah was from Eden. In Genesis 3. That's a long time. It was a long time until Jesus actually came to the earth and then died, and we serve Him today. What about God's mercies? Consistent in mercy. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. God has always desired our holiness and our service. Have we always been holy? There are times when I have not been holy. And there's been times that I've not served God well. And I suspect the same is true of each of us in this room. So where does mercy come in? Why is that important? It's really good to know that you can have forgiveness. What would your life be like if you could not have mercy? 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, notwithstanding that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He's patient. You know, some would argue that the Lord stands today because He's allowing people time to obey Him. I'm not sure that's exactly it, but I can't deny that fact. He is giving you time. If you need to obey the gospel, if I need to obey the gospel, if I need to make corrections in my life, I have time while I still breathe. But this mercy is unbiased. It's for all people. Not one, not a few, but all. So what is the value of God's mercy? What do you think? What price could you put on it? Without that mercy, there's no heaven. There's no eternal life for us. Heaven's there, and it's prepared for us. But if we don't have that mercy, we're not getting there. The mercies of God are great. We should never minimize that. Exodus 20, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And in Psalm 32, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. David realized that. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered. The Lord counts no iniquity. God's love. How much love? This is a big question. How much love is required to provide constant care over mankind? Constant. From the beginning of time. How much love is required to hear and respond to countless prayers? How many prayers do you think go to God in a day? You talk about great. We could talk about how great that is, just alone. How many prayers go to God in a day? He loves us and He forgives us. How great is that? How much love is required to forgive us of our sins when God abhors sin? When we sin, it's disgusting to Him. But He's given us a way to be cleansed. How much love is required to persistently encourage and strengthen us? All of what we've talked about is a persistence that God has given us to give us encouragement and strength every day. How much love is required to offer a plan of eternal life? To provide a heaven, to save us from this world. How much love does it require to give His Son for our sins? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. He loved His Son. He did not want to see Him suffer on the cross, but He knew it was an imperative that had to happen. For without those drops of blood that was shed by Christ, our forgiveness would not be possible. So we've only scratched the surface of how great God is. But He is indeed great. Are you ready to serve Him? Are there things in your life that need to be made right? Do you need to obey the gospel? Now is the time to do so, friend. As I said earlier, while we have the breath, God has made a way for us to enjoy His consistency, His faithfulness, His mercy, and His love, and the blessings we have through Him every day. So let's be encouraged about the God that we serve. For He is great.